Dr. Haller reviewed two more papers from ASCO, both of which he was an important part of. First, a report from the Zaloxa study, and specifically an interim analysis comparing toxicities of the fluoropyrimidines 5-FU and capecitabine in different geographic areas, and a second paper evaluating the addition of oxaliplatin to 5-FU as part of neoadjuvant therapy of rectal cancer. Dr. Haller began by commenting on the Zaloxa trial, which he co-chairs.
This trial emerged from what we were looking at over the past decade, which is a number of issues of how to extend benefit beyond 5-FU and leucovorin in high-risk stage 2-3 colon cancer, both with new chemotherapeutics like oxaliplatin, positive for MOSAIC and NSABP-C07, negative for irinotecan in three trials. Also, in this particular study, convenience of administration by replacing 5-FU with capecitabine and the Zalox regimen, and then certainly, although I won't discuss it as we have this morning already, the addition of other treatments, including the biologics in the adjuvant setting. So this was the study designed for the Zaloxa study. It incorporated over 1,800 patients with stage 3 disease. The experimental arm was the standard Zalox treatment. There was actually a control arm which had two separate controls. The EMEA and the FDA required that we include the Mayo Clinic regimen, particularly the EMEA. In my having said things about the Mayo Clinic regimen in the past about holding it, I certainly couldn't be the chair of a study with that as the sole control arm. And from intergroup 009, we had 900 patients treated with the Mayo, 900 with the Roswell, with exactly equivalent results, and both FDA and EMEA allowed for individual institutional choice. So an institution could choose the Roswell or the Mayo as the control. U.S. institutions typically chose Roswell. Europeans typically chose the Mayo. The endpoint was 3-year DFS. So that data will be available in 2007 to 2008. The toxicity data showed no real surprises for the Zaloxa program. The data are very similar to that seen in other trials regarding the toxicity profiles of each of these regimens, with more diarrhea in the Roswell regimen, more mucositis, stomatitis, and neutropenia with the Mayo Clinic regimen. If you look at the Zalox regimen, it's roughly that seen in smaller phase 2 studies in advanced disease, and it was quite tolerable. There was a cross-trial comparison performed in this slide with the 1,100 patients from the MOSAIC trial who received FOLFOX, just to eyeball the toxicity comparison between Zalox and FOLFOX, and we'll have more data from a large Roche trial in advanced disease directly comparing these regimens for both toxicity and efficacy, and then data from the FLOX trial. And again, no great surprises here. Each of these arms looked like they did in other phase 2 and phase 3 studies. So certainly, as one can see, the Zalox regimen was givable in this study. One caveat is that about 80% of the patients from the Zaloxa trial were entered from non-U.S. institutions and about 20% from the U.S. So as part of this toxicity profile, we presented at ASCO two things. One is looking at tolerability of fluoropyrimidines differing by region, and I presented this as a poster presentation. It's not only capecitabine that is of interest. All fluoropyrimidines have been shown to have different tolerability profiles, both in the U.S. and Western Europe as comparators, but also especially in Japan and East Asia. But there's limited information that's available, and certainly limited from prospective trials. And there was certainly controversy about the tolerable capecitabine dose in Europe compared to the U.S., where the European labeled dose seemed acceptable to them and their patients, but that same dose recommended in the U.S. was considered by most practitioners to be too high. So what we did was a retrospective analysis of safety data from three phase 3 trials with 5-FU, capecitabine, and oxaliplatin in some studies. And so two of the studies were the phase 3 pivotal trials in advanced disease done by Paulo Hoff and done by Eric van Cutsem. And these studies showed efficacy equivalency between capecitabine and 5-FU and leucovorin. This led to the approval of the drug in the U.S. and Europe, and then the Zaloxa trial, which was the one I just showed you. So we have a very large patient population receiving capecitabine, and the regions that were compared were U.S. compared to non-U.S. in all three studies, and then U.S. compared to the rest of the world in East Asia, because we had a fairly large number of patients in the N16968 study, which was the Zaloxa trial. We performed multivariable analyses, and we also looked at interactions among the regions. And just briefly to go through it, you can see that when one compares the U.S. versus the rest of the world, there was a fairly significant increase in any toxicity one cares to look at, except for what's called grade 3 lab neutrophils, which is febrile neutropenia, according to the designation here. So serious adverse events overall were higher, but every one of the toxicities one can look at was higher, and there were certainly many more dose reductions and discontinuations in U.S. patients. If one looks at U.S. versus the rest of the world and Asia, as has been seen for other fluoropyrimidines such as S1, East Asians tolerate oral fluoropyrimidines by and large considerably better. So using them at a relative risk of 1.0, the rest of the world is about 30% higher for all grade 3-4 events and considerably higher, a hazard ratio of 1.85, a relative risk rather of 1.85 for grade 3-4. And this was true across the board, although if one looks at different toxicities, it was less so. So, for example, for neutropenia, it was less so. The biggest impact seemed to have been in diarrhea. So the general conclusion is that there are more treatment-related toxicities. Very objectively, this is not just what people see in practice, reported in the U.S. compared to the rest of the world, both in first-line metastatic and in the adjuvant setting. And the East Asians have the lowest toxicity relative to this particular oral fluoropyrimidine compared to Western Europe and the U.S. And so what are some of the potential factors? These are ones that we used in our poster. Could it be methodology and reporting? Possibly. Different baseline prognostic and predictive factors. They were balanced quite well. These were large studies, but probably not. Food habits and the impact of dietary folate, I'll get into in a little bit more. There could be drug compliance issues as well as genetic polymorphism, so it's probably not just one of these effects. And so we have the discussant of my poster here in the audience today, and he can expand on this because this was the title of his discussion, which included a number of other factors. And he showed these data, in fact, for both the metastatic and adjuvant setting, which summarizes, again, this very significant difference between the U.S. and Asia in particular in toxicity.